All right, I'm here with Mike Shea from the Sly Flourish blog. And Mike, first of all, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Mike, it's been on a lot of people's minds lately. It's been on a lot of blogs. I've seen it come up plenty of times. We're talking about combat speed in 4E.
Right.
There's a lot of people complaining about the pace of combat, how it's too slow, fights take too long. I felt it in my end, my group, talking about the same thing. And in fact, it cost me my 4E game. Mm-hmm. So I need to have this problem fixed. I need to get some ideas on how to make these things move faster. And I wanted to talk to you about it because I know you have some tricks up your sleeve for this. So
yeah,
what does Sly Flourish do at his house to try to make fights move a little quicker in 4E D&D?
Right. So, I mean, yeah, the 4E, you know, just natively, it has about probably about a minimum of an hour for combat. And that's just kind of the way the game works. So part of it is accepting the fact that battles are going to take a little bit of time. But I've seen battles take significantly longer than an hour, or I've seen battles that should have been shorter than an hour end up being an hour or more. And yeah, there have been a couple of things that I've run that I've tested over, you know, 50 or so games and really seen them work very well. Probably the first one is making sure that whatever initiative system you work, that is visible to everybody, you know, visible to both you as the DM and visible to all of the players. And that helps the players sort of police themselves. And there's always somebody at the table who's bored. And that bored person is going to look at the initiative list and say, you know, it's your turn to go. I know you've been talking about Angry Birds, but it's your turn to run. And that way, it's not just the DM who might be just as distracted as the players trying to make sure that things move smoothly. So I use the little folded card, you know, the folded sliced up 3x5 card over the DM screen as my method to see initiative on my side and let them see who the initiative on theirs. So that works really well. Probably the second one, which is something that's a little bit more recent for me, is the monster defense card. This is a little bit sacrilegious, but what I do is I now have a 5x8 index card that's folded in half that has the name of the monster and all four of the monster's defenses. And probably after about the first round or two, I'll have people rolling nature checks or arcana checks or religion checks to determine the defenses of the monster that they're fighting. And it usually doesn't take too many rolls before somebody rolls high, and then you throw the monster defense out there. And now everybody at the table can see what hits and what misses. And that reduces a lot of the back and forth between the DM and the player. You know, typically a player will say, you know, I rolled a 26, and you say, okay, versus what? And they'll say, well, versus fortitude. And you say, okay, which creature? And they'll say, that one over there. And you say, okay, what did you roll again? And they'll say 26. And you said, okay, I think I got it. So there's a lot of back and forth. And now if someone's rolling, you know, getting ready before their turn, then they kind of roll their dice before their turn is up, which is, you know, can help. Now they can actually just say, yeah, I hit that guy over there for 14 damage. And you just write it down.
You realize, I'm sorry to interrupt, but you realize that you've just divided, you've just polarized about 50% of the DMs listening out there. Whoa. That is sacrilegious, you know, letting players know the right. AC of the monster they're fighting, yep. And the defenses.
Yep.
Were your players really all cool with that, or were they?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Nobody, I didn't have anybody that was upset about it. Nobody really seemed to be you know, think that they shouldn't have it. And the thing is, you don't throw it out right away. You know, the mystery of their defenses should be there for a little bit. They should have this idea, wow, you know, I just missed on a, you know, I rolled a 14 and I missed, you know, or, oh, this guy's fortitude is really rough because I just rolled a high fortitude and it missed. So you still want that, but you don't, you know, when you get into like round three or four, they don't care anymore. And most of the time they've rolled so many different attack rolls against that guy that they have a pretty good gauge anyway. Like anybody that was paying attention could narrow the range. So at that point, you can just throw it on the table and make it available to everybody. And no, I haven't had, I mean, I don't have any real strong storyteller role player types at my game. Most of them are pretty tactical. They just like to watch the battle run and they like to roll their dice and have a good time. So to display the defenses for them wasn't really that big a deal. You know, they didn't feel like they were getting super secret knowledge, and it really helped them out. So no, it didn't end up being any kind of problem. And I know I've gotten some criticism from people that say that you're pulling back the curtain too far, but I don't think so. I'm pretty happy with it.
Let me ask you something. 4E, from its inception, has been known as a game that wanted to sort of evolve the battlegrounds, if you will. They wanted big set pieces, big environmental effects, big obstacles in the way, difficult terrain, that sort of thing. What do you do as far as the place, you know, the location of the battle for the sake of speed?
I'm pretty happy with in using heavy if I want a fast battle, there are times where the big set piece battle is not exactly what I want, and I want something a little faster than that. I like big sets, and my players certainly like big sets. They like those giant battle maps that came with the old, you know, came with the old D&D adventures and are coming in some of the newer D&D adventures where they can really run around a big space. But every so often, you just want to have a small little skirmish. You just want something where it's part of the story, and you kind of want them to feel, you know, that they're not just going from the doorway of the dungeon all the way to the boss's lair. You want something in the middle. And one trick that I have is heavy environmental effects, that you can have a room where the monsters are there, but the monsters aren't the real threat. The real threat is an escalating environmental effect. So, you know, not to talk about my game, but I had one where a room was filling up very quickly with this poisonous blood that was, you know, very soon going to fill up the entire room. And there were four battle whites that the party had to fight. And at first they thought the battle whites are the real problem, but it turned out that the battle whites weren't the problem. The problem was that the room is filling with blood and they're taking, you know, 10 necrotic damage every round, and it's escalating every round. So the next round is 20, the next round is 30, and they need to deal with that instead of the monsters. So that actually sped things up, because the fight against the monsters wasn't really what was going on. It was dealing with the environmental effect, and skill challenges and things like that are generally faster than battles are. So they beat down the whites without too much difficulty, and then they had to deal with the environmental effect. So it sped up the game, but it still gave them a pretty heavy threat. They were still pretty worried about what was going to happen.
You have any other tips?
What other good tips do I have? So one I've been trying out, and it works pretty well. It's another one that's a little bit sacrilegious, is this is something I've only been doing for the past couple of games, is picking somebody else at the table and having them track monster damage. So instead of me recording down the amount of damage that a monster is taking, one of the other players who's, you know, generally pretty, you know, has a pretty good handle on running their own character, can also just keep track of damage, and they're getting used to it. You know, sometimes they'll forget the fact that they're the one that's recording monster damage, so they're not paying attention, and I'll have to kind of route it to them. But from the DM's perspective, it means, and when you mix it with the monster cards and the initiative, it means the only thing I really have to handle is monster strategy on their turn. So it really helps me kind of focus on the rest of the game and focus on what the players are seeing and how they're acting and whether or not they're interested in what's going on or not, instead of having to constantly worry about tracking this monster damage like a stockbroker in Wall Street.
Yeah, I think having your players at the table help you out with tracking conditions and hit points and stuff like that is a fundamental part of speeding up combat. I know I did it in my game. It was necessary. I had 7 people.
So
it was necessary to have, you know, a little bit of help at the table.
Yeah, that's rough. I mean, you know, any amount of players higher than 5 is going to be hard to manage. It's going to be hard to manage just in time, and it's also going to be really hard to manage in trying to scale a battle and make sure the battle's still challenging.
Well, you know, it affected the way I planned my game, because the way I was prepping 4E, I would take a look at the players that were going to show up for a particular week, and if I had a full house, and we're talking 7 players, and I would say, well, I got 7 players, I have 3 hours to play. So yeah, it looks like I'm going to fit one battle and a little bit of role playing and a little bit of exploration, and that's about it.
Right.
So I wouldn't bother prepping anything else, because I knew it was all for nothing.
Yeah, and the problem is, I mean, any battle that you're going to run that's going to challenge 7 players is going to have, you know, 9 monsters, because the way players scale in power is greater than a linear path, you know.
Yep.
If you had a 6 player or a 6 PC, that's not adding a 6 monster, that's adding 2 more monsters. If you had a 7th, it's even worse. Like, if you have 2 leaders, you'll never kill them. So, you know, you'll never really damage them, and they'll never really feel threatened, which means your whole battle is going to get longer. So you're back to square one. Again, I think when you have more than 5 players, though, when you add these kind of scaling environmental effects, where maybe it's, you know, 15 poison damage that grows by 5 every round, you know, everybody's going to feel that, and it doesn't take any extra time for them to realize that on the beginning of their turn, they're going to take 25 poison damage. And, you know, the leaders are going to have to really scramble, and the players are going to have to scramble to figure out whatever they need to figure out in order to stop that from happening.
All right, Mike, I think one important thing you said at the top, and you know, I'll say it here again, is that if you're playing 4E, you have to assume that the fights are not going to be over in 10 minutes.
Right.
And for, you know, you have to determine, is your group really interested in a shorter fight, because they may not be. They may enjoy the long tactical combats.
Right.
And if that's what your group is into, then so be it. And have fun with it and fight till your, you know, till your heart's content.
Yep. Some groups, it really has to be an agreement.
Yeah. You know what you're getting into when you're playing 4E. You're playing a highly tactical, you know, D&D, where fights are going to take a little longer.
Right. And a lot of people like it.
A lot of people like it. And if you're finding that you're having a tough time with it and you're not really enjoying it, then, you know, you may want to explore something else.
Yep.
That's just the sad truth. All right, Mike, thank you for coming on the Dungeon Master Guys podcast.
Yep, anytime.
You know, we love having you here. Take care.
Always a pleasure.